Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Tatum comes up with a one-man to beat exchange, and he lays it in off the glass.
Tatum on the move.
Just gets it off the top and nails it. Jason Tatum.
I feel sorry for LeBron James tonight.
A fatigued LeBron James. A worn out LeBron James.
How are you doing this?
I try to put myself to be in the best condition I can be in the postseason.
That's a lot, man.
Mouthpiece out. Mouth open. Knees buckled.
I put the work in and day out on my body.
Frustrated.
Yeah, LeBron had a rough night.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
He's been reading the book The Alchemist. It's about listening to the soul of the universe, if you will, to fulfill their personal legend. And LeBron told me that, you know, I have my family, I have my purpose, I have my treasure.
So he always talks about how he doesn't sleep that much during the playoffs because he's thinking about everything.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, I'm totally confused now. Is he tired or is he getting too much sleep or is he able to sleep? And I'm confused with the whole thing. Apparently, we look at television ratings and people are constantly, you know, coming up with excuses or maybe they're legitimate reasons why numbers are down in television ratings for different sports. Well, you know, the young millennials, you know, they have devices and they process, they watch this stuff.
That's
they take
what
it
you
in.
Say.
They take it in different ways. Is that me?
That's what your whole narrative is.
People say.
Kids watching on their phones.
I apologize. I get me confused.
You're now known as people say.
People say that. Okay. Wasn't that you?
That's your, no. My nickname, some people.
Some people, yeah.
Some people. I apologize. How is it that the NBA ratings are skyrocketing? The Eastern Conference Finals Game 5 is up 30% from a year ago. 30% in this day and age where everything is now watered down. You got a zillion channels. You got Netflix. You got Hulu. You can watch whatever you want at any given time.
I wouldn't
say
everything is down. MLB playoffs was way up.
It's a good point. You did bring that up.
So just saying.
Thanks for chipping in on
baseball.
Well,
I'm just saying.
It's our baseball conversation.
So just say it. Why is everything other than football going way up?
I think 30% is off.
Just say it.
30% is off the charts.
Well, and also, it's not like the games have been buzzer beaters, you know, come from behind victories. They've all been blowouts.
You know who's going to win
so
at the end of the first quarter.
What keeps you coming back?
People love the NBA.
Do you really think that this, the outcome you can talk about is predictable? But when you look at each game, there was an intrigue game one. Now, the Celtics blew them out, but it's game one in the Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron versus Cleveland. So now it even adds more intrigue to game two, doesn't it? And LeBron comes out and puts up 21 in the first quarter. That's a good game. Celtics took it over in the fourth. You know, and then game three, I think, was the real dud, start to finish. Game three was like game one. It's just that game one was game one. You know what I mean?
Can I give you this
game
one?
Game four was an odd, strange game, but you're into it. Same thing with this one. So it's like there's intrigue. You know, I think in these games, the outcomes have been predictable. Certainly the West, I think, is a lot of intrigue. By, you know, Golden State winning game one, Houston game two, and back and forth, left and right. So I can see it.
I'm looking at these numbers. These are really phenomenal numbers when you think about it, guys. They delivered a 5.7 metered market rating, which is up 30% from a year ago. But get this. That was the highest rated telecast of the night across television. That was the highest rated.
Wednesday night, sorry. Yeah. I wouldn't even know.
No, but here's even better. Because if it were on ABC... You could look at that and say, okay, it's because it was on ABC, and every single television gets ABC. ESPN, we know the problems ESPN's having, that people are pulling the plug on ESPN. There are a lot of people now that are they're getting a la carte cable or streaming or whatever, and they're staying away from ESPN. We know the problems ESPN's having. That number is off the charts. This is now ESPN's highest-rated conference finals in 6 years. The last one? Boston-Miami in 2012. So if you want individual local markets, Cleveland was number one in the country, 21.3. Boston, 14.4. Columbus, Ohio, 11.0. Providence, 9.9. And New Orleans, that basketball heaven down in the South, 8.9.
Hotbed of talent. Yeah, they're just,
beignets and basketball. That's what we do in New Orleans. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you go to New Orleans for, to watch a Pelicans game. Right after you get some beignets.
So those numbers are off the charts, I think. They were the number one show on television last night. All right, back to the phone calls we go. Where are we going? We're going to Arthur in New Hampshire. What's up, Art?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
These guys, you know, I'm a Celtics fan, but the people calling in that even consider we could win Friday night are delusional.
I think it's off the charts. If they win Friday night, that will be a gigantic upset. Wouldn't you guys agree? That would be amazing.
If the Celtics win Game 6.
I guarantee you, if they win Game 6 on Friday night, Tomasi will be back on the bandwagon. They're winning the NBA
championship. If the Celtics are up by 12 in the fourth quarter, LeBron will be taken out in a stretcher and an IV.
I'm more worried about losing games.
Yeah, he'll cramp up.
Because he'll hit the floor and be like, I can't do it. He just tried to do too much physically. God said your body's done.
Yeah, God spoke to him. Yeah.
So you're worried about Game 7. You're just the opposite, though.
I'm worried because this team has not played. That was an ugly win last night.
Their defense was real good, though.
The defense was great, but 36% shooting. Rozier and Brown haven't shown up really the last three games. Rozier could almost be a liability the last three games. So, I'm nervous about this young team in Game 7. You know, we had a 3-2 lead against the Lakers in 2010-11. Everybody was happy. What happened? So, it kind of feels like that. Because LeBron's not going to be worn out and tired in a Game 7 no matter what.
You know what it might be with Jaylen Brown and with Rozier, and maybe Tatum is an exception? They may be tired, as Lou said. Young players
who are not accustomed to show it.
Jaylen Brown did not have this type of role a year ago. No. Okay? Nowhere close to this role. And Rozier, we know, didn't have this role 2 months ago.
I would agree. I mean, Jaylen hasn't. I don't think he's been good in a while. Like, forget about Game 4. Just don't look at the number. He scored 25 points.
He's not getting lift anymore.
Was he good? He wasn't good when it mattered. Like, no. In that first half, I think he was, 2-for-11?
He picked most of
You're looking at the box score.
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at the box score, it says he was good, and I don't think he was.
Yeah, but you're sitting there and, LeBron played the most minutes of anyone in the NBA.
3-for-12 in the first half.
Yeah, but he's not exerting any energy because he's moving so slowly.
He's the slowest guy in the league.
So it's deceiving. So he's logging the most minutes, but he's just walking up and down. So really, what does that even mean?
By the way, after listening to Kyle Draper just a second ago on the drop, have you guys seen any of like the pregame show that they're doing on NBC Sports Boston with Kyle and
Rich Keefe? Nobody watches. So I don't know.
No, that would be a no.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
So they're doing it live, like at Tony C's. And you have all of these people who are just excited that their face is going to be on TV, but they get behind both of them, and they're constantly, like, making faces, okay? And then you can see it. It's like kids, like...
It's like babysitting.
Right. It's babysitting. It's like 3 or 4 teenage kids who have all got a routine figured out, you know? They're going to roll their eyes all to the left. I'm trying to concentrate Scalabrine and Drapes are sitting there trying to break down what's going to happen to the game, but you can't concentrate because the kids in the background are all, you know, doing crazy
stuff.
See, I
like it when they have like ABC, like Mark Jackson and Van Gundy, and they're sitting there like courtside, and there's always a couple guys, people in the back, and they just can't resist it. I would be one of those guys. I would be making faces.
I would.
I totally would.
But here's the difference. The guys that are sitting behind, you know, Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson are probably paying like $2,000 a piece for those seats.
Yeah.
The ones that are hanging out at Tony C's are just going in there to have
some chicken
wings. A burger and chicken wings. Yeah. Kids menu.
They should sit away from that rail, too, because they're like in their back pocket at Tony C's. You notice that. They're like, I mean, I don't think there's a foot.
No, between them. No space.
I mean, they're like, they might as well give them a mic.
Yeah.
Hey, that's when you go on remote.
Well, they're doing the same thing at the Garden, because on home games, they're doing it out, you know, on the concourse, I guess, right? And all the fans are part of it.
Yeah,
but it's distracting.
Does
anybody else find it distracting? I find it distracting that I want to hear the two guys talk, and yet it's like become a circus with all these people trying to get, you know, with signs. Everybody got their signs out. Here's Tarek in Boston. Tarek.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good.
What's up?
You know, I got to agree with something that Glenn said. You know, I mean, I still don't believe. I still don't believe that, you know, history is in the favor of this team because of its age. You know, young teams don't win championships, and there's a reason for that. We're seeing those reasons when these guys go on the road.
if they were to make it to the finals, forget winning the finals, forget getting swept by the Golden State Warriors or whoever, if they make it, it is as improbable as a couple of teams that actually won chips, and I'd say the Detroit Pistons in 04, and the team that didn't get to the – that lost in the finals, but they beat the Celtics, and that was the Nets in 2000, I believe, in 2001.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have superstar, didn't have a go-to alpha. And if you look at the history of the league since Bird and Magic, every single team that has had an alpha drag them to the chip, that alpha or the person who all the pressure was on was over 26 years old. Even when Magic, Bird, Duncan, and Dwayne Wade did it as young players, they were on teams filled with veterans.
Yeah, well, that Detroit team you were talking about had older players, right?
Rasheed Wallace,
Ben Wallace, and Chauncey Billups. They had been in the league for a few years. This one's doing it without that alpha, without that superstar, and they're all 21, 22.
You know, I was looking at the last team to really do this was, I think, Miami Heat, and they beat Oklahoma City. Now, because Westbrook, Harden, and Durant were all 22.
Yeah,
but 23. But they're just, I mean, we know who they are now.
But that's why they were falling apart. Well, if they waited one more year, we would be talking about OKC because they were all 26 years old when they broke up. If they waited another year, you can see what happened with Westbrook. You can see what happened even with Harden. They got rid of Harden a year, 2 years early. They panicked. A lot of teams panic, overpay. And that's what I think Danny has to consider doing, keeping these two young guys. The leap from Brown from year one to year two is about a 3 or 4 year leap, it looks like. And from the beginning of the season to now with Tatum, that looks like a couple of years of experience that we're seeing, and he hasn't had it. The only thing I'm missing from his that I would love to see from his game is take over the game by going to the line. When we're up by 7, 8 years, and just put it away by going to the line. The greats all did it. Larry did it. Magic did it. Jordan did it. You know, Kevin Durant does it. Put the game away at the line. You know you're going to get fouled. Be strong and do it from there.
Yeah, I'll give these kids a couple of years.
Let's look at that 11-12 team, the Oklahoma City. So it was Harden's second year in the league. You know, Westbrook's third year in the league. And Durant actually had four at that time.
Yeah, so that was a more seasoned team than what you're dealing with here.
But they were still, third year in the league and you're still, fourth year in the league and you're 23. Yeah. Right? Westbrook was 23, Durant was 23, Harden was 22. Serge Ibaka was 22. You know, so they had, that's one of those, like, we all knew how good those guys were at that time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they were legit.
Yeah, I mean.
But they were young.
If this team gets to the NBA Finals and they get swept, which is very possible, this will be a phenomenal season. It'll be one of those seasons that still is off the charts. And you sit there and say, what are you talking about? They get swept in the finals. It doesn't make a difference. They shouldn't have been there. They're doing something that is nearly impossible, not impossible, but nearly impossible to do in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that stood out to me, which was kind of interesting, when you think about, okay, how do coaches feel about certain players? When Marcus Morris gets into the little altercation, we'll call it that, with Nance Jr., and who comes over late and kind of gives him a little something? Terry Rozier.
Yeah. That's why
did you watch Brad Stevens? Because I was focused
on
Brad Stevens.
He got out there quickly.
No, but the disgust on his face towards Terry Rozier.
Should have been.
You couldn't miss it.
We could be a one-point game.
It was going to be
a double technical, and now what you did is you're the third man in to use a hockey.
Which is so basketball, 101. It's like I get it. It's like you can't protect your buddies anymore. You can't do it. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, all right, like as good as he's been, for the most part, he's been pretty good, right? He's had some ups and downs. You can tell, like, that whole narrative about, okay, Terry Rozier over Kyrie Irving is so laughable.
Really?
Yeah. It's so laughable.
Do you remember the calls we took?
So unbelievably laughable. Terry Rozier is he's a great backup. He's a great sixth man, and on a lesser team, he's serviceable.
He's like an emotional player.
Yes, and it's just so obvious how emotional he is
home,
and how it affects him.
I mean, because even like look at last night, I think he hit that first three. Nate mentioned in the telecast. And the crowd went nuts, and he was feeling it. He came down, then he forced one. It was just an awful, awful shot because you get caught up in the emotion of it. And you're right, because that was dumb. You know, I love what Marcus Morris is doing and what Bane's doing, physicality.
He doesn't do it.
But that's what I'm saying, because that was almost like a hockey fight that Cleveland needed.
Yeah.
Because I think they were down 17 or 18, and they went like on a 10-0 run.
It benefited them, yeah.
after that. It kind of woke him up a little bit. But he's just an emotional kid. And that's part of struggling on the road and, you know, momentum. Everyone's on your side at home, feeling it. And that's what you're seeing from him.
Well, this last caller, Tarek, was talking about the alpha dog or whatever. Well, that's what you're going to get next year when Kyrie Irving comes back.
Sure.
So you're looking at it and saying, why can't this team win on the road? I'm looking at it saying, I'm not surprised that they can't win on the road because they don't have that player. They don't have that alpha dog. Now, if Kyrie Irving was playing, don't even include Gordon Hayward into it. If you had Kyrie playing right now, you'd have a chance of winning some of these road games.
He's Craig Kimball. You
would have a chance.
He would be closing it out.
You need somebody to take over the game in the fourth quarter where he's just on fire and there's nothing the opposition could do even though they're playing at home. You don't have that with this team right now.
No.
Add Kyrie, you got that.
But it might be good enough to get to the NBA Finals.
It's just absolutely improbable. It's off the charts. Yeah. This is off the charts. It is. All right, 617-779-7937. We talked about this yesterday because the commissioner came on, did a press conference yesterday, announced this new policy on the anthem. We sat here and debated it, talked about it, and I think we were all in agreement. This is stupid, crazy, whatever. I don't know if you guys feel the same way today, but the controversy and the opposition to it is even greater than what I thought it was yesterday, and I thought it was going to be a lot of opposition because it was stupid to me. We get into it next.
Get Boston's number one midday show anywhere. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier on WEEI.
If anyone is on the field and is disrespectful to the anthem or the flag, there would be a fine from the league against the team. The team will have its own work rules, will be consistent with the overall policy, and they will make their own decisions about how to manage that from there on the club level. The general public has a very strong view of what respect for the flag is in that moment. We have language in our policy, standing at attention, with hats off and focused. And I think the general arbiter will be the clubs and the league.
I thought this was idiotic when I heard the commissioner say this all yesterday. And as I read more, hear more, it's all coming to pass very quickly that this is going to make this is going to exasperate the problem.
Oh,
the problem is going to be far worse than where it was. There's going to be far more attention. When the intention was waning, it was starting to go away. And the commissioner screwed this up. But did you know this yesterday when we were doing the show? Because we heard that the commissioner came out and said that if a player did it, they were going to fine the team.
Mm-hmm.
So then Christopher Johnson, the chairman, son of Woody, with the Jets, comes out and says, I'm going to pay all the fines.
Yep.
Which you're basically giving license to your players. Hey, go out there and protest all you want. I'm going to take care of your tab. You have nothing to worry about.
It's a safe place.
And then we find out that the league comes out and says, no. There's another provision in this that the league can also fine or suspend the player.
So which is it?
So, I don't get it. Well, first of all, he threw it all on the teams. Did he not, Lou?
No, we said this. Christopher Johnson's the first guy to come out. We said, what if, you know, is there going to be a team out there that's going to say, you know what, I'll pay the fines. I don't care. Remember we were talking about, you can come play with us. You can be yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you want to do, I'll pay the fine. Don't worry about it.
Safe place.
But I'm curious. It's like, is there a team going to come out and talk about what fine they're going to levy on their players for doing it? I'm just saying, each case is going to be treated separately,
differently, but by the bylaw, you're going to have to attach a number to it.
But I'm saying, do you think like if the Patriots got fined because Devin McCoy, I think Robert's going to call him in and say, listen, we got a $25,000 fine for what you did. So I'm going to fine you $25,000, $50,000, whatever the fine was, $10,000.
Eventually,
McCoy's going to sit there and say, no. Well, we won't play you if you don't pay the fine. You think it's going to get to that?
If you listen to former players, you'll understand they screwed it up. My issue with the players is that you should have known better. You've seen this before. But this is like, you know, the same movie over and over again. I sit there and I looked at Kieran Garrigan and talked to like Matt Light, America,
Damian Woody,
Damian Woody. And one of the quotes, Damian Wood is talking about how crazy this is and, you know, they'll never learn. He says, you can't call the players partners and not include them in this process. He says, it's baffling. How can you call them partners and then they're not involved? The problem is you took the bait. You allowed yourself to believe that you were partners
when all they were doing was just trying to pacify you. Oh, okay, guys, I can hear the owners. Hey, we got a problem. And listen, we got to get these guys together. We got to calm this down. Let's pacify them. Let's have a meeting. We'll all throw in some money. You know, that'll be it. We'll throw some money at it. They think they have a voice, when in reality, you don't. You know why they didn't include you? Because, oh, you're not a partner.
You're not partners.
You're not. And stop thinking that you are.
You're an employee.
It's just like all these guys are nuts.
Yeah, but
think that they actually would have a say. The only say that they would ever have is through the collective bargaining agreement. That's it. You want to really address this and really make a difference and control the situation? Go ahead, and they'll screw you again because you'll be fighting for something that you shouldn't be fighting for. And that's what they want you to do. Hey, you know what? We're not going to give them any more money. Forget about insurance and everything else. But you know what? They're really hot on this, like kneeling. We got them right where we want them, guys. Okay, concede to that one. Give them that one, and we'll take what we need.
This was so callous on so many different levels by the commissioner and by the league. I did not know that until I read it last night, that there is a provision as part of this new policy that in the end, if the teams don't cooperate, and already Johnson with the New York Jets is saying he's not going to cooperate, he's not doing anything to his players, he's giving his players license to do whatever they want, that the league can come down and fine him or suspend him or whatever. Wait a minute. I thought he was handing it all out to the individual
team. No,
this makes zero sense.
But, you know, again, when we talked about how everybody, he says the general public has an idea what disrespecting the flag is.
They have no idea.
It's ridiculous.
The owners don't.
That's the stupidest statement I've ever heard. Because obviously the country is extremely split on what that would be. I mean, you talk about Matt Light's comments.
America.
Yeah. I mean, and he says, in reality, they've literally defined by policy that guys can openly disrespect the men and women in our armed services by staying in the locker room. So to Matt Light, by staying in the locker room is disrespecting the flag and the men and women of the armed service. That's his definition. And I bet he's not the only one.
How about the president of the United States? We predicted this was going to happen yesterday. The only thing that shocked me is that Mike Pence, the vice president, was the first one to tweet winning, congratulating the league or whatever. But then the president is on Fox and Friends this morning.
I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. And the NFL owners did the right thing if that's what they've done.
If that is the story, do you feel like you pushed this story forward and you pushed this to a conclusion?
I think the people pushed it forward. This was not me. I brought it out. I think the people pushed it forward. This country is very smart. We have very smart people. And, you know, that's something ideally could have been taken care of when it first started. It would have been a lot easier. But if they did that there, doing the right thing.
It's so predictable. So we already have the problem. We talked about this yesterday. The commissioner thinks, as you said, Lou, well, the public's going to understand. Everybody's going to understand what the print. No, they're not.
Different definition of it.
Already we're hearing people to the right who are sitting there going, hey, those that don't go out there for the national anthem are disrespecting the anthem. They're disrespecting this country. They're disrespecting the flag. That's going to create a major crisis. And here's where the commissioner blew it. You do one of two things. You either let it die, move on. Colin Kaepernick's out of the league. He's not coming back. Okay? You just move on, let it play out by itself. It was fading. We know. We talked a lot about it. By the end of the year, it was fading. It was not a big topic here. Or you do this. You do what the NBA's doing. You get together with the Players Association and say, guys, this is a business problem for us. It's going to affect you because it's going to kill the revenue coming in, and it's going to hurt your pay. So here's what we do. Everybody's got to stand for the anthem. If you guys want a social platform, we'll give it to you. You can do what any coach can do it, the way Popovich is doing it, the way Steve Kerr's doing it, the way LeBron's doing it, Curry's doing it. They're all getting their voices heard out there, but they're not killing us with the right side of the political spectrum.
So the first one I disagree with, that it's going away and just let it go away and that it died down.
It was dying down.
Okay,
for
so
now.
Let's play it forward a little bit. One of these instances that you talk about happens, all right, and you know the country's emotional over it, and it occurs in week two that just a handful of players, 25, 30 players around the league kneels. All right.
Yep.
What will we be saying then?
Well, I'm not saying it goes away entirely, Lou.
Well, okay.
Because if you got what you got last night, and it happens in the middle of the season, the Milwaukee Police Department releasing the video with Sterling Brown, if that comes out, people are going to react to it because that's
that.
We're in that phase.
If it happens again, and they didn't do anything, we would sit there and say, typical NFL, you had all season to try to resolve this issue. And you did nothing. You stuck your head in the sand. You hoped it was going to go away. And here we are a year later, and you don't have an answer for this. You don't have an answer for people kneeling on the sidelines. We would be dogging them and Roger Goodell for not attempting to fix the problem and just hoping it would go away.
Yeah, but you can't fix it the way they fixed it.
No, I'm not saying they did a good job in fixing it.
Okay, no, ideally.
People that say they shouldn't have done anything. It was going away. It's going away. It's not. It wouldn't go away.
Okay, that's the second
best option. We would criticize them for doing nothing.
That's a
all offseason to come up with a solution.
Better option.
Absolutely would be.
Better option than what they did. Now, I would have rather seen them do it the NBA way, because the NBA, listen, we hear from these players. We know that these players, many of them, and the coaches, have issues with things that are happening into this country. Police brutality. We can go down the entire list here. Yet, they are respectful of the flag and the national anthem. Not a single NBA player has protested. They haven't done it. And I think most people are looking at it saying, okay, there are issues we have in this country. But you're taking the proper platform. You're out there talking about it. You're engaging in conversation about it. That's what this country is about. Not going out there and in some way denigrating the flag or the anthem.
Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
Oh, you know what?
That just exasperates it even more.
It doesn't matter. The point is that the NFL had an opportunity to save their ass, but they didn't do it. They didn't. All they had to do was take the exact same language and wording that is in the NBA contract, CBA, whatever it is they call it.
But they couldn't do it because the Players Association, they had to negotiate
okay,
with the Players
but
Association.
The point is that, and then you can say, listen, the NBA, they're more progressive and they're great. They have all this stuff. They don't do it. It's in their contracts. They can't do it. So we're telling you can't do it now yet. And we're telling you, we're actually giving you a better deal. We're saying you can stay in. We're telling you if you don't like it, you stay in the locker room. We're actually giving you a choice. The NBA doesn't even give you a choice, guys. They make you do it. So why is the issue with us? The problem is that the owners, nobody's on the same page. Everybody, you got the guy in San Francisco saying he's not even going to sell concessions during the anthem.
He's just
why
doing that.
Profit? Yeah, he's oh, I know doing, why he's doing
he's
it.
He's doing
come
that
on.
Reaction to people that right.
Give me a break, dude.
But I say that does happen. Right. I told you this a couple months back when I went and saw my son-in-law playing hockey in ECHL, wherever it was, Tulsa, Kansas City, one of those two. And I went out there and the anthem was playing. I went to grab a beer before the game and everybody just stopped. Nobody, even people behind the concession, were standing there, turned to a flag, hand over the heart, and everybody just stopped. And I'm sitting there going,
they gave him the stink
eye. So can I not get a beer? Excuse me. You know?
No, but
they wanted to boot me out of the arena.
Even
and I'm like, everybody just stopped in the whole building. That was it. So they do that. They don't sell concessions during the anthem.
If you're at a game, because this happened to me at Gillette.
Beer.
I remember like leaving the stadium, the field early before the anthem, and right at that little area, right at that whatever that base camp is where they have the Hall of Fame. I remember like the anthem. I could hear the anthem. I was like, oh crap, I got to stop walking. Like I stopped walking, even though other people were still
everyone
moving
stopped.
Around. But the majority of people stop. So, I just feel like I feel ashamed if I don't. I honestly, I feel like, okay, whatever it is, like my instincts tell me I should probably stop.
To your point, when you
for
said,
for a minute and a half, and I'll be fine.
But not everyone's on the same page. York actually never even voted.
He abstained.
He abstained.
Oh, the San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just stay out of it.
He didn't vote.
Well, that's stupid.
That's just
godless.
So dumb. Make a choice.
That's godless.
Make a decision.
But here's, we go back
he
to
did.
The, go back to the point.
I know, but
but I'm saying by abstaining to that, he didn't agree with it. He just didn't want to say no to piss off his other owners. So he just said, you know what? I'm not voting.
He didn't want to piss off his fan base, too. That's a very progressive fan base, and he didn't, he was trying to play it right down
the middle.
How
about this? How about fight for your point of view?
Right.
I mean, not make a decision is the laziest, cheapest example
you can
make.
Should have voted against it. Should have voted
against it. Hey, say I voted against it.
So he didn't want to piss off the owners, and he didn't, and so he abstained. That was the way he played it. The thing is that the commissioner coming out yesterday and saying that the public understands it, everybody understands what's disrespectful.
If anyone is on the field and is disrespectful to the anthem or the flag.
The public understands it. Not only does the public not understand it, the owners don't. Art Rooney came out last night and said that he does not believe, he believes it's disrespectful if the players line up and lock arms or the players put their hands on the fellow player to the left of him, his shoulder. And I'm sitting there going, if I remember correctly last year, that was a way of the players sitting there saying, we're not going to be disrespectful to the flag because people are interpreting it like we're being disrespectful to the military or law enforcement. We don't want to do that, but we want to also know, people know, that there are some issues out there. So we're going to do it brothers in arm. They weren't. I don't think they were being disrespectful, but now Art Rooney says they are. So I thought the commissioner said that everybody knows what's respectful and what's not. No, it's in the eye of the beholder.
It is, and it's such a disaster. It is. They thought they were doing the right thing, trying to make everybody happy. Well, is that how you would run a business? Do you try and keep everybody happy? Oh, you know, Lou likes this, and Glenn really likes this,
and then what about Kirk?
What
he
to
likes
do?
Nothing.
I mean, try to keep everybody happy, set the rule, make them deal with it, and move on.
All right. Do you think anybody's happy? Because Matt Light seems to be politically a little bit different than Damian Woody, and yet they both agree that this was a colossal screw up by the commissioner. All right, we get to your phone calls and your reaction. 617-779-7937.
You know where the action is.
I love Lou trying to tell us during the break. I don't gamble anymore.
I do pools. I do brackets.
Squares. No, I do pools. I Listen. Do pools. I do brackets. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I don't have a problem.
Bet the house with Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Listen, I think Roger Goodell and the NFL are trying to please everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you can accomplish that.
That's true.
Listen, I think some people are heartened that, okay, the players that take the field will be called upon to stand and respect the national anthem and the flag. But I think he's opened an opportunity for a conversation about the players that don't come out on the field. And that will drive a discussion about the NFL that might be a bit uncomfortable and not what the league wants.
Jason Whitlock, and I agree with him. That's exactly what they did. So the owners are dealing with the president, many of the owners who are supportive of the president. Then Pro Football Talk had it today. There's a story out there that that the league actually went out there and did all of this survey stuff with the public in the last couple of years and found out that the public was against Colin Kaepernick, so therefore you got to, you know, kind of go in that direction. But then they're trying to keep it open-minded to the other side because they know that the players, a large majority of them who are African-American, have issues right now in society, and that Sterling Brown video, we'll get to that later, didn't help. That came out last night. And so what you end up with is, oh, my God, we got these guys over here. We got these guys over here. He's trying to appease everybody. And in the end, nobody is satisfied. Who is Wiggy?
Well, no,
Wiggy
no,
was satisfied.
No.
He called Jesse.
Some guys are satisfied.
Who?
Some.
Who?
I mean, some.
Wiggy.
There's a lot of people who sit there and go, and they look at this and say, all right, that was a good deal. They try to make everybody happy, but they just don't see the big picture. I would say the majority of guys on rosters, they just want to play football.
Yeah, right.
They just right. You know, because when I go to work, I don't want to hear Chris Long jumping up on his soapbox chirping to me about what I should be doing. Like, what if my cause is childhood obesity? What if it is? And I sit there and I question everything you eat, and I judge you for how you feed your kids. Do you want to deal with that on a daily basis? I mean, it's just one example. My biggest issue with this all along was the fact is this is where I work. I know it's different, but it's still a job, and I'm getting paid no differently than any other place. Any other place you get a job, you don't think they're going to sit there and say, you know what, we don't like what you're doing. But somehow the owners have empowered the players, which in a lot of examples is great. But when push comes to shove and the owners are going to make a decision based on what's best for them, they don't consider you a partner. They consider you a partner
Joe.
When it's convenient for them and the narrative that is out there. So it's your own damn fault
for allowing yourself to be sucked into it and to think that they're going to give a crap about your opinion.
I'm just wondering what a lot of these people who are so dead set against players protesting are doing at their Memorial Day barbecues when they're throwing away their Budweiser cans. They're certainly not following the flag code or giving a crap about it then.
Come on, you know that doesn't play hand in hand with that. I mean, that's a terrible analogy. It really is.
That's a pretty pertinent analogy.
No, it isn't. And I'll give you...
The flag
it isn't.
They're talking about respect and they...
Megan, it isn't.
They're not respecting the flag.
But Megan, it isn't. It's a terrible analogy. It's the same thing when people say that, you know, you should get up off your couch when you see it on TV and it's being played. It's different. There's a ritual that goes on at these sporting events that we've all participated in for years, and there are now people that are pulling the plug, and they're balking out of it, and for a reason.
How are they pulling the plug on that ritual? There, people can stand as long as they want. People should be able to kneel as long as they want. How long does this go on? And do
okay, let me ask you
anthem?
This then. Let me ask you this, Megan, because Malcolm Jenkins brought it up last night. He was a guy that protested in the past. He says he claims he's going to continue to protest. And his excuse was, I have the constitutional right to do that, to protest the anthem. He does not, Megan. He works for an employer. He's on the field being paid by that employer. He does not have the constitutional right.
Free from consequences. And he doesn't have to be, there's no compulsory standing for the flag. He can kneel all he wants. He does have that right. However, the NFL is free to fine them, as ridiculous as it is.
Well, they can deny him a job. So what you're telling me is that what they're doing to Colin Kaepernick is fair.
No, I don't think what they're doing to Colin Kaepernick.
Wait a minute, you just said based on the constitutional right, the player has the constitutional right and the employer has the right to do something to the player, to penalize the player. That's what they're doing to Colin Kaepernick, and now that's wrong?
Whether I think it's fair or not is entirely not. That's a matter of opinion.
No, it's a matter of constitutional law.
No, him being blackballed is not a matter of constitutional law.
I just gave you an example of it. Colin Kaepernick was one of those people that looked at it and said, I have the constitutional right, and you just said he does, to go and protest. He did, but you also agreed that the employer, because the constitutional right, the First Amendment doesn't play in here when you're doing it on somebody else's dime, when they're paying you, when you're working your job. So you just said, well, look, the employer has the right to do what they want and penalize that person. They're doing it to Colin Kaepernick.
Not as a matter of opinion.
They're doing it to Colin Kaepernick. So is that, but you're not, but that's not acceptable to you.
No, it's not, but that's a matter of opinion.
I'm using your logic. I'm using your.
But here's the thing, Megan.
I'm trying to argue facts.
Megan,
trying to argue that if there's a difference between opinion, whether I think it's fair or not,
Megan,
and whether
listen,
or not he's able to do it.
You're right. That's your opinion. But the problem is to try to just, when the commissioner comes out and says the general public knows the difference when the flag's being disrespected, that is inaccurate. It is a clear split. Again, some people don't have a problem at all with what Kaepernick is doing. It's a peaceful protest. That's America. Other people are offended, said he's disrespecting the country, disrespecting the flag and the armed forces. So nobody's on the same damn page.
No, but those same people that are like, oh, well, he's disrespecting the armed services, going back to the original reason I called, have zero problem not respecting the flag code, and they constantly bring it up when they're arguing for standing for the flag. Well, it's against the flag code. Well, so is having it on any item of clothing or having it on anything that's disposable, like their Budweiser bottles.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's your opinion.
That's right.
But someone's going to sit there and say, right. No, me drinking a Budweiser with American flag is not disrespecting the flag.
Right.
It's just an opinion.
Right.
So stop the fact that he's thinking that everyone is on the same page here in this country. No, nobody's on the same damn page. Look around.
Right.
Everyone's offended by everything.
So why does Megan...
And half the people aren't offended by what most people are offended by. I mean, it's chaos.
So Megan understands the policy, understands the difference of the First Amendment rights to bitch about the government. All right? You can do that in our society. And she understands the difference between that and when you're on the dime of an employer. Yet because she supports what Colin Kaepernick stands for, she thinks he should be, exempt from
it. That's
what's going on here. Lou, there is a split. And so people that agree with certain views to one side are sitting there going, no, we have to make exceptions. We have to open up. And the other people are sitting there saying, nope, we can't. We have to close it down. You have to put your hand at your heart. And that's why none of this stuff is going to get accomplished. Tom is in Chicopee. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
My question, as soon as I heard this, what are they going to do if the players turn around?
That's disrespecting the flag.
Well, that's, yes.
That'll be their interpretation.
It's not against their rule. I agree. Okay, first of all, I'm a veteran, all right? And I have no problem with the kneeling, okay?
Okay.
My oath was to the Constitution, not to the flag, no matter what anybody says. That's the oath we took, okay?
Do you think you're in the minority as a veteran?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. That's funny, but all right.
Hey, I'll be here all week.
Yeah, you want to start an argument, go to a VFW and give your opinion like that. I mean...
So go ahead, get to your point.
Okay, but anyway, what can the NFL do if they just turn around? I agree. Turning around is more disrespectful than kneeling.
Well, they already said that they're going to... They're the arbiter. Like, that, you know, I don't know if they're going to leave it to Twitter and let the public respond. You know, I mean, the general public is responding on Twitter, but they don't like it, so there it is.
Every game's going to have a Twitter poll before you start. Oh, was this offensive or not?
I mean, I don't know how the hell they're going to do that.
80% say yes.
But you're right, Tom, and that's what we're talking about. Like, the inconsistencies and just thinking that, oh, we'll be able to identify what's disrespect. Matt Light feels that staying in the locker room is disrespect. And he's probably not the only one.
No, the president. He's already said it. He's already come out. He's on record right now with saying it. Nothing was accomplished yesterday. Matter of fact, I think it is absolutely.
It's like the freaking catch rule.
100 times worse. Yes.
They can't figure it out.
What is a catch?
They still don't know. They still don't know.
New kickoff rule. We got that. You know, I know we're going to break, but you know what today is?
What?
Today's Thursday.
It is Thursday. Yep. What do we like to do on Thursday?
We give away Red Sox tickets on Thursday.
Oh. And we're going to do free stuff.
Coming up in the next hour. Yeah. No. We're giving up in the
next time.
By the way, we have another major celebrity that I think is in serious trouble.
Wow, we're going to be hurt.
Hashtag me too.
A lot of women coming forward saying that he was doing inappropriate stuff.
His job as one of the best narrators in every single movie you've ever seen
is
in jeopardy.
So what do we do?
Give it away. Okay, you think everyone's going to know who the best narrator in all movies are?
So coming up,
Brad Stevens got no
more of this.
Mountain Dew's.
Okay, we're gonna have to pull a lot of voices off of movies and commercials and everything else. We'll do that coming up in the next hour. As Christian teased, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.